shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It was just something I thought would be fascinating.
We don't accept the status quo.
Look at Libya. We go in. We don't want to remove Gaddafi.
Where else, except in a public school in the state of New Mexico right now, can you actually inflict some sort of damage to a child?
Winning!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. This radio show goes places other talk shows cannot go. We do it all, and we do it every night. I mean, we are head and shoulders above any other radio show that you will listen to. That is an absolute honest statement. I believe it. And there are others in this business that would agree with it. We're just head and shoulders above any other radio show. In terms of the actual purpose of being on the radio, which is to entertain people, we are pros, we are veterans, and we know what we're doing. And I say that with great pride because in the radio industry, it is increasingly becoming amateur hour as the seconds tick by. As the seconds tick by, it increasingly becomes a playpen for bored movie producers, lawyers, and...
What did Rachel Ray used to do?
I think she modeled, like, rubber underwear or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm kidding. I didn't mean to say that, but it was funny. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know what she did, man. She was a cook, you know.
What do you mean she was a cook?
Well, whatever Rachel Ray did, didn't... Whatever she does, didn't she do what she do and... What she do now... Not what she do now, but what she does now... Didn't she do...
Yeah, what she do?
What?
What she do?
I don't know what she did. It must have had something to do with cooking. How about that? Donald Trump takes on the president's birth certificate. Why is Trump picking that issue? Dodgers are about to get a bigger police presence. Plus, did archaeologists just find the remains of a gay caveman? We'll tell you why they suspect all of these things, why they suspect he's gay... At 877-876-PHIL and philhendryshow.com, that is our website, and that's where you go to get the live streaming video of our radio show each and every night, as well as, of course, on the weekends we do our KFI show, and you can watch the live streaming video of that. All of the archives, thousands of hours, check it out at philhendryshow.com. All right, of all of the things I got to get to this Trump thing because it's driving me nuts. It's driving me nuts, and I will say something here, folks, because we are on this program real conservatives. We're political conservatives. Now, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that a guy like Donald Trump would make a great president. He makes a great CEO. He makes a great leader of an American corporation. In other words, he makes a great dictator. That's exactly what you are. When you head a company, although you do have a board of directors you have to answer to, but that's kind of like answering to the Politburo back in the days of the Soviet communists. In other words, you are not necessarily, although they have shareholder meetings, you're not necessarily, if it's not a publicly traded company, having to be democratic about things. So when you take a guy out of the business community who works as an autocrat in the business community, and that's how things are run, and that's great. That's how we run our business. That's how I run my business, autocratically. I tell people what's up, and they do it. I don't take votes. So Donald Trump is the same way. Now, why is that not necessarily a great president? Well, for the very obvious reasons. You don't get to act like that as a president. You can go to the White House and start throwing your weight around, and you're going to have some guy that's been in the Senate for 30, 40 years, some long-time veteran senator, maybe bring over some of his friends, and they'll say, well, now let us explain to you, Mr. President, how this ball game's played. You ain't telling us anything. It depends on the president as to just how much leeway he eventually does make. They said that Lyndon Johnson was great at strong-arming the Congress because Lyndon Johnson had so many years in Congress, and he knew where all the bodies were buried. And he'd call those guys up and get them over to the White House, maybe have a barbecue one night, bust out the whiskey the next night, or just cuss up a blue streak, whatever he needed to get stuff done. Ronald Reagan, the same way. Ronald Reagan was an executive for the state of California. He was the governor, so he already had experience dealing. And if you've ever seen any of the old video, not old video, but old film footage of Ronald Reagan on the old news shows, you could see he went toe-to-toe with all kinds of people. I mean, face-to-face with the Board of Regents, University of California, members of the California Assembly, just other politicians, other heavy hitters. You got to learn how to do that, but you also have to be a part of a Democratic machine. Now, Donald Trump has been doing media rounds after a surprise presidential poll shows him neck and neck with Mitt Romney. Fresh off his surprise second place showing among likely Republican primary voters in the new Wall Street Journal NBC poll, Donald Trump hit NBC's Today Show this morning to sell himself. Now, this is not uncommon in America. We love our millionaires. We love our business success stories. We do. We love our Lee Iacocca's. We love our Bill Gates's. We love our Thomas Edison's. They don't necessarily make for good presidents. In a wide-ranging interview on the Today Show with Meredith Vieira, Donald Trump says he's taking a potential presidential run seriously.
I hate what's happening to the country. I wish I didn't have to do it. I wish this country was running so great, and I wish Obama was the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln, and I wish this was the greatest place in the world. What we're doing is unbelievable. If you look at what's going on, where our jobs are disappearing to foreign countries, where the oil, you're going to be paying $7 or $8 a gallon for your oil very soon.
But do you blame this all on Barack Obama?
Well, I blame a lot of it. It's been a terrible presidency.
All right, now, that's great stuff. That's very attractive stuff. We all want to hear that. We love to hear that from a candidate, okay? That H. Ross Perot talked that way. It's what are these guys prepared to do to leave the world of business and go into politics? Here is Donald Trump explaining his stance on Libya.
Look at Libya. We go in. We don't want to remove Gaddafi, but we're going to go fight, and we're going to this. And now nobody knows what's happening, and it looks like Gaddafi is going to beat the United States. I'm only interested in Libya if we keep the oil. If we don't keep the oil, I'm not interested. I don't know who the rebels are. You know, they make the rebels like it's some romantic, beautiful novel, the rebels. I hear the rebels are Al-Qaeda. I hear they're Iran-backed and Iran-influenced. Where are they getting those weapons before we came along? From Iran.
Well, you can find out before you answer that question. Now here is Donald Trump saying, and here's where he starts to maybe lose me, because many other conservatives like myself agree, this birther issue is real weird, and the fact that these people keep it going and going and going. Now Donald Trump is weighing in, giving it renewed credibility. Let's listen as Trump says he doubts Obama was born in the United States.
3 weeks ago when I started, I thought he was probably born in this country. And now I really have a much bigger doubt than I did before.
But based on what?
And you know what? He doesn't have a birth certificate, or he hasn't shown it. He has what's called a certificate of live birth. That is something that's easy to get.
But it's considered the equivalent.
And in the it's not the equivalent.
In the state of Hawaii, they said they have
Meredith,
seen this document. It is evidence that he was born in the United States. That's good enough for them. Scholars have looked at it.
A birth certificate is not even close. A certificate of live birth is not even signed by anybody. I saw his. I read it very carefully. Doesn't have a serial number. Doesn't have a signature. There's not even a signature.
All right, Vieira pushes Trump on the birth certificate issue.
Do you believe he's lying?
I'm starting to think that he was not born here.
Do you believe he's lying, Donald? Come on, just
Meredith,
answer.
He spent $2 million in legal fees trying to get away from this issue. And if he weren't lying, why wouldn't he just solve it? And I wish he would, because if he doesn't, it's one of the greatest scams in the history of politics and in the history, period. You are not allowed to be a president if you're not born in this country. He may not have been born in this country. And I'll tell you what, 3 weeks ago I thought he was born in this country. Right now I have some real doubts.
This is why Donald Trump is not going to get elected president of the United States, among many reasons. He's not listening to the questions that are being asked. He's not answering them accurately. And you know what? I'm in favor of Obama showing the birth certificate, too. And every other guy that ran for president in 2008. Every other guy that ran for president in 2008. You know, let's get this out on the table. I'm getting sick and tired of this issue. So, Obama, show me that birth certificate. You too, McCain. You too, Romney. You too, Richardson. All of you guys. Let's see it. Hillary, everyone. Trump is asked if he is a Tea Partier.
I think so. I'm very proud. I'm very proud of some of the ideas they put forth. And the big idea is they want to stop this ridiculous, absolutely killer of spending that's going on. What's going on in this country, the way we're spending money like drunken sailors, we are just absolutely going, and ultimately we're going to destroy our own freedom.
But they want to stop it, even at the cost of shutting down the government.
Well,
that's a possibility. Are you in favor of that?
Excuse me. It's not really shutting down the government. It's cutting costs.
Exactly. And now he got back to the good stuff again. So I don't know. If he wants to make the birther thing an issue, he's going to have to go all the way with it then. If you want to bring the birther thing up, you got to go all the way with it because people are going to label him a weird ass. He may be right. You know what? If he is right, then he's got to go all the way with it. If he brings up the birther thing, but he doesn't go all the way with it, he doesn't make it a major point, then people are going to say he's just a weird ass. But all of the other stuff he says, I completely 100% agree with. I just wonder if a private industry autocrat like Donald Trump has the temperament to be a president, work with the Congress, all of that stuff. Look at, man. You know, I would love it if those cats were moving a lot faster, you know?
Yeah, but he can tell them what to do and everything.
Obama tried to tell them what to do. You think they don't listen to presidents. They say, thank you very much, Mr. President. It's very nice. But guess what? You don't make policy. You don't create law. You don't appropriate money. So bug off, baby. Go get yourself another one of them hamburgers. All right, coming up, lawmakers are weighing in with what to do with their paychecks in case the government shuts down because the Constitution says. Because there were a lot of people, very rightfully so, asking, okay, I want to see those lawmakers start getting paid. Guess what? The Constitution says, no, you may not. You must pay them. However, they're going to try to find a way around that. Plus, do you ever wonder why you can't stop the coffee cravings? Well, it's genetics. Do you think it's your brain? No, it's another organ. What are you doing?
This one?
Why, you dirty... Boy, man, I can't believe that. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Let me tell you something, bud. Thank you, and welcome back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. Let me tell you something.
You just went Radio for Patriots. Yeah, say it clear and stuff.
Hey, man, he knows what he's doing. Hold on. Really? Thank you very much for that advice.
Hey.
Now, I got to tell you something, bud. It is not considered funny. In fact, it's considered pretty weird. I mean, like, you may need a doctor to do what you did.
Yeah, but you said it. What organ is it? It seemed like a perfect time for to you know, give it a little air.
To give it a little air.
Man, you are weird, man.
What doesn't make me weird just because I come up with something funny?
No, that's not funny. It's very strange, and it makes me worry about you, and it makes me want to commit you to a mental institution, okay? Remember the conversation we had once that it's funny, certain things are funny, and certain things are, like, mental?
Yeah.
So, like, some guys may... you know, pee their name into someone's front lawn. That's sort of funny, although it, you know, kills the grass. But then doing the other thing, that ain't funny.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
You ain't saying I'm all right.
It's weird. All right, back to the Phil Hendry Show here. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Now, archaeologists discover first-ever gay caveman in Czech Republic. Critic angry at sexual stereotyping and claims the caveman was transgender. All right, what is the sexual stereotyping? You're going to find out, and then you'll probably understand why the critic would rather believe that this fossil, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 years old, that means the 2,000 years back to the birth of Christ, and then add on another 2,500 to 3,000 years before that, and that's how far back we're going. It was 3,000 years before the birth of Christ wasn't Moses hanging around in those days? Anyway, archaeologists in the Czech Republic have dug up the 5,000-year-old skeleton of what they think may be the world's first known gay caveman.
Gay caveman? Yeah, but Jesus didn't live in Czechoslovakia.
Now, I know Jesus didn't live in Czechoslovakia. We ain't even talking about Jesus. It's 3,000 years before him. Jesus didn't live in Czechoslovakia.
What if they, how do they know? Okay, never mind.
Yeah, Jesus was the Middle East, man, because they identify the towns.
Why wasn't Czech Republic?
I don't know, man. God sent him to the Middle East. Why wasn't it the Czech Republic? Because back then, the Czech Republic was a wilderness, because it wasn't civilized, because it was a bunch of Teutons running around with spears.
What's a Teuton?
Like a Germanic guy. They were running around with spears. They had leather loincloths on. They were not civilized human beings. They were eating meat with their hands. And the Romans, you know, although 3,000 years prior to the birth of Christ, it was the Roman Republic, but they were the most civilized thing in the neighborhood. Now, don't keep interrupting me. Scientists who found this body, which dates back to between 2900 and 2500 BC, said they suspect the caveman may have been a homosexual. Why? Because he was buried in a way normally reserved for women of the era. The cave dweller was placed in his grave with his head pointed eastward, along with several domestic pots and jugs, according to scientists. Now, men of this era were typically buried pointing westward, surrounded by weapons such as battle axes, knives, and other tools. The suspected gay caveman did not have any weapons or tools in his grave. From history, and this is now a scientist speaking, Kamila Rimazova-Vesanova. Boy, I said that real good, too.
Yeah, you said that good, man.
Anyway, from history and ethnology, we know that people from this period took funeral rites very seriously, so it's highly unlikely that this positioning was a mistake. These people, they took it very, very seriously.
That they point a guy's head in a certain direction.
Exactly. So if they point a man's head in a direction that ordinarily a man's head is not supposed to be pointed in, and he doesn't have weapons, and he has more of a domestic type thing, well, thinking, you know.
But I met a guy, like, you know, play, like he was a wife.
Well, let's just read on. I don't want to start. I don't want to apply a lot of modern-day jackball gay jokery to, you know, the science of archaeology. But nonetheless, the man lived during, the man lived during the Copper Age, that's what they called it, in what is known as the corded ware culture, which flourished throughout most of Europe during the Stone, Copper, and Bronze Ages. The culture received its name because its craftsmen often adorned pottery with corded decorations, meaning that kind of raised design on the pot. Archaeologist Semradova said in a press conference on Tuesday that scientists have discovered similar cases before, including one in which a female warrior was buried as a man, and others were prehistoric witch doctors were buried in a style typically reserved for women. But this later discovery was neither of those, leading us to believe the man was a soda and chocolate enthusiast. What the hell is this, bud?
Ain't that the story?
You got it mixed up with another. The man was a soda and chocolate enthusiast. Now I ain't got it.
I'll find it.
Well, leading them to believe that the man was sexually, his orientation was of the gay...
gayness.
The gay gayness. Now, one of the critics has said, no, that's jive, and that's really bad, and why? How dare you? Just because the cat's gay doesn't mean that he liked pots and pans and cooking. That is a stereotype. It's possible he was transgender.
Well, I don't understand.
Well, here's the thing. Just because you're gay doesn't mean you want to hang around in the kitchen and cook. You could be gay and like hunting. You could be gay and be buried with all of these weapons. All right?
Yeah, but what they found a guy making out with another guy, and you say, we're going to put you in a girl's grave.
Well, it doesn't make sense, man, if they found him making out with a guy. You mean as punishment? I mean, they're going to bury the guy for what the guy was. So this critic says, why are you not considering the possibility that this individual is transgender? What does that mean? A man who lived as a woman, a man who affected the clothing of a woman, a man who affected the mannerisms of a woman, a man who was, in point of fact, psychologically, mentally, spiritually, a woman in a man's body. And so that was a little bit of controversy. The reason why I don't think it's a big thing, and I'm sure it really hurts if you're gay and, you know, you hear these kind of stereotypes, go, oh, wow, what a drag, I wish you knew more about us. I don't think these scientists meant any harm. I think that they're scientists. They're extremely insular archaeologists. I don't think these cats are necessarily up on the social realities of the world, and I think we ought to just cut them a break, you know. This poor scientist, I don't know what I did wrong, Dr. Svendlund. They said that I called the man. Well, you said that he, you know, this guy is going to be staying awake drinking now, worried that he upset somebody. All right, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Dodgers are about to get a bigger police presence, courtesy of the LAPD. Plus, we'll tell you why you feel addicted to caffeine. And I'm a big caffeine addict. Let's find out about this together coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You guys don't make any sense.
Hey, man, I make plenty of sense trying to explain it to you.
I really don't get it either.
Look, here it is. All right, welcome back to the show, the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And online at philhendryshow.com. Right now, live streaming video of the show. And we have, along with our broadcast and my passably handsome face, we have our news video up in the background. Now, here's what they're saying, man. They're saying the following thing. And I believe that this scientist, this woman, her name is Rosemary Joy. She's a professor of social science. She's not an archaeologist. She's not even an anthropologist. But she is making a point. She's saying this. Wait a second. So, in other words, you guys see a male skeleton with crockery and kitchenware, and he's buried in the direction of a female, so you're going to assume he's gay? Which is to say the following thing. If that man were gay, but he was a warrior, and he used swords, and he used bows and arrows, and he dressed as a man, and behaved in the ostensibly as a man, would he still be buried in that fashion? So what she's saying is, this must have been a man who acted very female, presented very female, in other words, a transgender or transsexual or transvestite, some male who was the who decided or was a part of the female culture of that tribe or that, you know, that city or that village. So, you know,
you're like Ed Wood.
Not like Ed Wood.
Ed Wood, man, what are you talking about?
Well, you're talking about like a guy dressing like a woman.
No, but more than that, man. I'm talking about a guy that is identifying as a woman. All right? That's what probably was going on. And, she's making a good point because homosexuality, we think of it as something that in modern times, of course, there's a huge controversy about it. But we have no idea how homosexuality was viewed in some cultures. In some cultures, they didn't give a damn. In some cultures, it was not stigmatized. Rome, as we were just on the subject of the Roman Empire, they didn't care. So long as you were upholding you were maintaining your social and administrative standing. So anyway, that's that, and we're all done with that story. So
was it a gay guy?
What she's saying is possibly it was a transsexual or transgender guy. All right, I got to get to this story here because we promised this. Lawmakers weigh giving up paychecks if shutdown forces federal furlough. Now, that's pretty interesting because guess what? With Congress headed for a shutdown, unless a spending deal is reached, lawmakers are trying to make this failure of government seem a tad less offensive to everyday Americans by vowing to give back part of their $174,000 paychecks. We just did a whole hour with Chris, 2 hours with Chris Norton talking about this very thing, and we kept on saying, oh, no, they get their paychecks taken away, too. Well, not so fast, Phil, because the Constitution does not allow for that. At least that's my understanding is. I got that information from my producer, and this news story doesn't really make any reference to it. But they're weighing what to do with their paychecks in case the government shuts down. Now, where is this stuff? The 27th Amendment, no law varying the compensation for the services of the senators and representatives shall take effect until an election of representatives shall have intervened. Okay, well, an election of representatives has intervened. It's called the 2010 elections. So they ain't got a problem there. The fact that hundreds of thousands of federal workers could be furloughed while by law the members of Congress who caused the problem would continue to get paid is a cruel twist in the mechanics of a shutdown. In response, lawmakers have floated several ideas for docking their own pay. Daryl Issa, who is independently wealthy, told Fox News he already gives his salary away to charity. But regardless of economic situation, he urged the colleagues to follow suit and turn away their paychecks if the government shuts down. Members should not be saying, well, I need my money, when in fact other federal workers aren't getting it. Mark Warner, who is a Democrat from Virginia, who also is a millionaire, plans to either decline pay or donate it to charity if there's a shutdown, according to FoxNews.com. Michelle Bachmann said she will donate her pay to a nonprofit serving military families. Senator Joe Manchin, or Mankin, of West Virginia, made a similar pledge, passing around a letter to colleagues Thursday urging them to be as cool as him and join him in returning their paychecks. I'm just joking about that, but sometimes
They're looking, man, to look real good.
Yeah, they're you know, sometimes they can't help but feel. I am turning back my paycheck, and I urge my colleagues to. The bottom line is this. I can't imagine that the president, vice president, or any member of Congress, Republican or Democrat, thinks they should get paid when the government has shut down, Mankin wrote. Not everyone's signing on, however. On the House side, Linda Sanchez, a Democrat, told MSNBC she can't afford it. As a matter of fact, we have Linda Sanchez here, some audio from an interview conducted with Representative Sanchez on MSNBC. Here she says she is unable to give up her congressional paycheck.
I have to tell you that I live paycheck to paycheck like most Americans. I'm still paying off my student loans. I have a 2-year-old son who I have to support, and I have to maintain residences on both coasts. It's very difficult for me to say, hey, I can give up my paycheck, because the reality is I have financial obligations that I have to meet on a month-to-month basis that doesn't make it possible for me.
Now, when I listen to her, and I hear all kinds of comments from people when it comes to the elected representatives, they're not flattering. People think they're crooks. People think they're liars. People think they're all kinds of things. I mean, the vitriol, the hate, H-A-T-E, hate. I happen to think that elected representatives are patriotic people. Maybe that makes me stupid. I don't think so, because I don't paint them all with the same brush. But when I listen to a congressperson, you know, say those things, I ask myself this question. Some people will say, well, isn't she patriotic that she puts her family through this hardship so she can serve her country? Yeah. Or you can also say, what are you doing?
Yeah, but then you want to have older guys who got money.
Well, this is why we have older guys who have money, or older women who have money. You see, and so I would, you know, if you don't like the fact that Congress people tend to be older and very wealthy, listen to what that woman just said. Well, I'm young, and I ain't wealthy. I need this money, but I'm also in Congress. Should I not be? Should I not run for Congress? Would you rather than an older guy with bread? Is that what you want? I don't know. What do you want? And the message we send to our congresspeople is pretty squirrely. I mean, we're not exactly consistent with what we're saying. We don't like these rich guys that are on the... Well, then we say that they're all on the take, but we don't like the fact that they're rich, and we don't like the fact that, you know, they got to take their money, and they should go hungry if everybody else is going hungry. But by the same token, why do they... You know, and, I mean, it seems like we make requests and demands of congresspeople that are mental. Mental as in crazy, as in psycho. Now, if you're a member of Congress who's a millionaire, and there are quite a few members of the House and Senate that are, it's really not a problem for them, said Sanchez. Some lawmakers have tried to require the members of Congress don't get paid in the event of a shutdown. They shouldn't be getting paid, just like federal employees shouldn't be getting paid, said John Boehner. But John Boehner didn't read the Constitution like we just did for you right now here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. If you're going to alter the pay of a congressperson, there needs to have been an election intervening, and there was an election intervening. So the Constitution also, by the way, provides that laws changing congressional pay don't take effect until the following term. So meaning we've had one requirement, which was an election intervened. Now they're going to change their pay. But the 27th Amendment requires one more thing. That effect... The changing of pay will not take effect until the next term. So if you're a congressperson, you were elected in 2010, good for you. You just voted, let's cut our pay because this sucks. That doesn't take effect now. It takes effect in 2012. So that that maintains the, you know, congressional election intervening. Same thing with the senators, except they are elected every 6 years. So it would seem, ladies and gentlemen, that our founding fathers have guaranteed that Congress people get paid regardless of what we like or what we think is best or what we think is fair. Now, some of them are trying to cobble together something that will be constitutional, but in reading the 27th Amendment here, I mean, and I know it pisses people off. Well, how come these guys are getting paid and there's cats and I just don't believe it. It's so unfair and it just isn't right. You know, there was a very smart guy. Let's see, who was it?
I think it was Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller, that's right, who said, I'm kidding, but no, I'm not kidding about you being smart, Dennis, but if all these people take back our country, you want to take back the country? Vote. There, you can take back the country, and if you don't like the job the guy's doing, vote. We're always looking for a shortcut, man.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they're getting money they shouldn't, and that's wrong.
We're always looking for a shortcut. I don't like the fact he's getting money. We don't want to vote the guy out because that would mean we actually have to organize voters and put a candidate up opposing the guy. That would mean we'd have to go out and do some actual work. So what we want to do is find some shortcut. Let's pass a law that says only in this one instance are we able. Oh, horse dung, man. We gotta. It takes far more than just that. Term limits. One of the worst ideas that we've ever had. Now I understand that we have term limits on the president. But I personally think that when you limit terms, what you're basically saying is this. The voters are too busy, too stupid, too self-involved, too whatever, to really pay attention to the leadership of this country and what's going on. So let's put in term limits as a stopgap for how dopey some people can vote. Man, I don't get that at all. I mean, that to me is really weird. Why the American people would sit still for term limits. That's the, you talk about nanny state. That's the ultimate nanny state. Why do I have a term limit? Because you're too stupid to figure out whether we have an elected representative that's good enough, so we have to put in a term limit to save ourselves from ourselves. Now, the presidential term limits, I don't agree with those either.
Are you kidding me, man? I mean, Franklin Roosevelt, he got elected four times.
He might have gotten elected four times. Guess what happened on the fourth time? He died. People do die.
Yeah, but they're afraid of having a dictator and stuff.
Oh, get out of here. You know, one of the stupidest preoccupations of some people is that America will fall into the hands of a dictator. Have you ever seen a country less ready to give it over to a dictator than the United States of America? Have you ever seen a country less ready to be conned or fooled than the American people? Even though we accuse each other of being conned and fooled all the time. We love to refer to each other as sheep. And, you know, I mean, I can only quote our dear mothers by saying when you point one finger at, you know, somebody, you're pointing three back at yourself. The very people that talk about sheep are sheep, only they're drinking a different kind of Kool-Aid, which brings me to something else. It wasn't Kool-Aid. It was Flavor-Aid.
That's right, man.
All right, we'll be back here in a... You didn't know that?
Yeah.
It was Flavor-Aid. We'll be back here in a world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Flavor-Aid.
Winning.
Right after this.
Radio for patriots,
yeah.
By patriots.
Oh,
it's the Phil Hendry Show.
Jim Jones was in the pavilion and he said,
winning.
Pass out the Kool-Aid, Flavor-Aid.
Radio for patriots. By patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The guys are looking at, there's a war-torn Libya story that was on, and they were looking at the camera guys, right? Is that what you're looking at, bud?
Yeah, that one guy in a camera. What happens if there's a bomb or anything about that?
I guess he gets blown to bits.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. What do you think? There's some kind of the guy's got like a shield around him, like from Star Trek?
Yeah, but he's in the press.
I don't care. They'll kill your ass as fast as they'll kill anybody else. They'll kill you. What do you mean? You think the guy's protected because he has a camera?
Yeah, but don't they have press pass and everything?
They may have a press pass. They may have a camera. They may have a lot of things. And they're still going to get killed. If they're standing there next to the soldiers that are fighting, and they got their little camera, and some guy fires one of those RPG rockets, you're dead. You know?
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a dangerous job. It's a being a combat journalist, and the guys die. Ernie Pyle was a famous World War II combat journalist. People may know the name, they may not, but he was very famous in World War II. Ernie Pyle never made it back from Europe. He died over there. And there were a lot of writers and reporters who were killed, not just in World War II. We lost a lot of them in the Vietnam War, women and men. I don't know if journalists were killed in the Gulf War. I don't know. This whole idea of embedding a journalist with different combat groups may be a safe thing. It may not. I don't know if it protects the reporter or not. But, you know, you're not a combatant. You don't carry a weapon. The only thing you can rely on is you're with a group of men who are armed, and somehow that will protect you. But some of these guys, they wind up getting killed, you know. And if you're in an aircraft that gets shot down.
Didn't you say Ernest Hemingway and everything?
What about Ernest Hemingway?
You said he was a combat man, too.
Ernest Hemingway was in, is, well, yeah. What do you guys know about Ernest Hemingway?
He wrote all them books and everything like they were talking about.
Ernest Hemingway was a great writer. One thing that he wasn't was a great war correspondent.
What about that?
Well, Ernest Hemingway, you know, we all know Ernest Hemingway from being kids. We read his stuff, and he's a legendary American writer. You know, The Sun Also Rises, For Whom the Bell Tolls, you know, all those books.
Well, I never read any of them, but...
You never read any of them, but you know who Ernest Hemingway is.
Yeah.
Anyway, war correspondent, he wasn't. In fact, Ernest Hemingway was considered by the other writers to be a little bit of a joke. He was... by World War II, Ernest Hemingway had made his initial celebrity. Now he's over there on a little motorbike, and he's scurrying about the French countryside after the Allied forces landed, and not really doing much of anything other than drinking wine in cafes and walking around with a machine pistol, which was against the Geneva Accord.
What does that mean? Because he's a writer?
If you're a journalist, you cannot carry a weapon. You cannot. You are a non-combatant, and you're protected, supposedly. I mean, you're going to get killed, but... And Hemingway is walking around Paris after the Allies took the city, and he's got a machine pistol. And they even attempted to torture a German soldier. Now, look, I don't... what's going to happen is going to happen, but this was a 19-year-old kid. He was scared to death. He is a young German... who's suddenly surrounded by all these French underground guys, and here comes Ernest Hemingway with a machine pistol and a candle.
What's he going to do with that?
He was going to hold it under the kid's feet and start torturing this kid and asking him questions. And so what happened was the other writers that were there, and there were a group of journalists, came over and they said, you know what, Papa, or whatever the hell they called him, cool this out, man. And they took this freaking candle away from him. They also took the pistol away from him because... not long after that came some army personnel, some officers. If they'd seen him with that gun, he would have been in big, big trouble. No doubt he would have been sent back to the States, but before that, they probably would have prosecuted him for something. So I don't know why you guys asked me about that.
Well, you're talking about all these writers and everything.
Yeah, Ernest Hemingway was not a good war. He was a great writer and a phenomenal, phenomenal name in the history of American letters and literature. But as a war correspondent, he was looked upon as a joke. They called him General Ernest or General Ernie, something like that. I mean, it was a joke. And I think the guy just dug the romance of it, you know.
What about that place Sloppy Joe's? You ever been on to that?
What is it with you guys and Ernest Hemingway, man?
I don't know, man. You had that tape laying around, like Ernest Hemingway lookalike contest.
Well, so, okay, I don't know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been to Sloppy Joe's. Yeah.
What's that like?
You know, but if you're really interested in Ernest Hemingway, why don't you read some of his books?
That's a good idea.
I don't want to read his books. I just want to know about him and everything. He's got a beard. Did he have a beard, too?
Yeah, he had a beard and everything.
Bitch, he got drunk in that slop house.
It wasn't called Slop House. It was Slop House. The actual original Sloppy Joe's is down the street from the one they use now. They got a big one. It's a big-ass bar, and that's the one they call Sloppy Joe's. But the real one is down about a half a block from there, and it's, you know, Key West is really cool, and Key West is beautiful, and Key West is a party-hardy place, and I mean, and the people there are even more sunbaked and chilled out than the most chilled-out sunbaked cats you're going to meet in California. I mean, you go down to Key West, and what was that one guy I met? I was telling about him, Robert?
Yeah, you said that guy barely got a sentence out.
This guy was like, yeah, well, you know.
Good thing he wasn't doing the credits in the show.
Oh, yeah. Produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Rick Johnson, associate producer Dan Northcraft, world famous Phil Henry Show, online at philhenryshow.com. See you tonight. Anyway, if you go down the street, you'll see a...
Phil Henry.